1 Corinthians 15:35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the body and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. And so is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are also they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall also we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the portion of Scripture. I pray that it be an encouragement to God's people tonight. Lord, blessed the teaching of it, and Lord, may we gain from the study of this portion of Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. There again is some discussion going on in the church of Corinth concerning some other false teaching or doubt. Doubters are talking about the resurrection. Those that are attacking the resurrection sometimes, I think verse 35, they were doing it from a very practical, at least their argument was based on a very practical, from a very practical standpoint. But some men, man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Now, what are they saying there? They're saying, well, you're going to tell me that there's a resurrection and that folks are going to raise from the dead. But there's, of course, enough human history at this time where there are evidence that the body decays and dust into dust and it deteriorates into nothingness. And so the scoffers were saying, well, you say that everybody's going to raise from the dead, but they don't even have a body. You go to these tombs where they've been for hundreds of years, there's not even a body. So how in the world can they raise from the dead if there's no body? And so that is the teaching here. That's what the doubters were saying. Now, Paul, in his tactful manner, begins verse 36 with these two words, thou fool. it's interesting that he wrote in verse 35, not but some men will say, but some man will say. Do you think that maybe Paul knew who this person was and that he was kind of going after them very specifically? This was somebody in that church that kept walking around as a troublemaker, stirring up these doubts in people's hearts. And so Paul calls him by name here. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. So now, first thing that Paul does is he takes our human bodies and he compares them to a seed. Now, let me say this, and if you don't, you don't. But I think every Christian ought to be required at least one time in their life to put a garden out. I mean, really, I really think that there are so many things in the Scriptures that since we've become more urbanized and we've kind of left our agricultural roots that are just not obvious things to us. But, you know, we were planting our garden this year, and as I was planting the garden, I had this very thought, and I really had not studied this part in detail, but I'm always astounded as I'm planting the miracle that God has allowed to happen in the way that he has placed life in a little seed like this. Now, this is a seed of sweet corn. Okay, this is a seed. Now, think about that. Just get this in your head for a minute. If you can wrap around it, wrap around it. But Paul was saying this. He's saying, listen, that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. Now that little seed right there, I mean, most of you can't even see it. We put this thing in the ground, and you could still do it right now. You could put it in the ground, and within a few months, you would have a... As a matter of fact, appreciate the sacrifice that I made for this sermon. I actually called my wife up and I said, man, I hate to ask you to do this, but go out in our garden. I was going to just sneak in the field behind us where somebody else planted their corn, but I thought, I don't think God's going to be able to bless that sermon if I do that. I said, go pull one of our stalks of sweet corn out of the ground and bring it tonight. And so I hope you appreciate this. This cost me probably 2 or 3 good ears of sweet corn just so you could get this truth here. But, I mean, can you wrap your mind around that? Right there, that's what we put on the ground. This is just, what, a month later, if that? That's crazy. Do you realize if we'd have left this alone, if my wife hadn't killed this plant, that this thing would be this tall? That this would not only be that tall, but there'd be 2 to 3 to maybe 4 ears of corn with hundreds and hundreds of these on it. That's a miracle. I mean, it really is. Get your mind around that. All of this was in here. Now, let me encourage you as Christians. This is our earthly body. Now, this whole chapter, I'm going to tell you something. I think Paul, the best he can, is trying to explain something that's impossible for us to fully understand. But we do everything we can to keep this earthly body alive. You know, we cling on so to life. This is what we're fighting to stay in. This is what we're fighting to be. Well, Jerry, the glorified body is just not going to be a slightly tweaked, turbocharged human body. It's going to be this compared to this. It's going to be a big one of the... Folks, do you realize on our property we have a couple huge oak trees that honestly, if me and my wife tried to link hands around, we wouldn't be able to touch each other's hands because she's short in the arms. And we wouldn't be able to do it. You realize that thing at one time was a little acorn that I could have held between 2 fingers like that? That is the earthly body. Brother Jerry, what's the glorified body going to be like? We can't even comprehend it. We can't. You know what? We're going to say we fight, and we humans do. We fight for life. God made it that way. There's nothing wrong with that. But I couldn't help but think of this verse in Ecclesiastes 7:1, which it says this, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. And we as human beings, especially people who believe that there's only what we get in this life, cannot understand why the Bible would say that a good name is better than precious ointment and the day of death better than the day of one's birth. It's crazy. We go to the funeral home and cry and weep and mourn. When somebody's born, we celebrate. Yet the Bible said maybe we ought to weep on the birth date and maybe we ought to celebrate on the going home day. I'm just, you know, the closer you get and the farther you get down the road, the more you lose your infatuation for the things of this world and you realize it isn't nothing. And the more, you know, this body breaks down, you look at this is it. But folks, the only way that this becomes this is that this has to go in the ground. Are you getting that? I mean, that's amazing. I just wanted to show that to you because I want you... You know, listen, folks, we should not fear death the way we fear death as Christians. Now, I'm not saying you just run out and jump in front of a... You know, I'm not talking about being silly. I'm not talking about going that route. I am saying this. When we get on the other side and we realize what was used to contain who we are here and what is going to be given to us to contain what we are there, we are not, you are not going to for one second ever miss living in this body. It's going to be that incredible. I'm not going to preach on this, but let me just say this. I think one of the things this teaches us too, when I said that that does not become this, I lost my seed. Oh, there it is. Until it goes into ground. Let me just quickly say this. You know, folks, I'm not upset. God can perform miracles. I understand all that. But I think that this is another portion of Scripture that tells us our bodies are to be buried. They're not to be burned. And I just want to say that again. And I'm not mad. And if you've got a loved one that was cremated, I don't want you to worry about if they were a Christian. God's going to give them a glorified. But I just think that you know what? These bodies are a little more precious than that to God. And I think it ought to be a little more precious than that. That really stems from a pagan, heathen worship and religion and mindset. And, you know, don't go down that road as a Christian, okay? And if you do, I won't be mad at you, but I'm just telling you, I don't think it's pleasing to God. He said this. He said, that which thou sowest not the body which shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as he hath it, as it hath pleased him. You know why this becomes this? Because that pleased God. And when God made this whole thing, I'm going to tell you something. He loved us. You think of all the different seeds that you can go to the store and get, and all of those different seeds you can put in the ground, and God has put in those seeds something that will grow. And man, two seeds may look very similar, and yet they may bring out something completely different. And I don't know what my glorified body is going to look like. You don't know what your glorified body is going to look like. Let me tell you what it's going to look like. It's going to look like whatever pleases God. That's what I believe. Now, the human body compared to a seed. Then number two, verse 38 through 42 talks about the diversity of our glorified bodies. I'm going to say this. I don't believe it's going to be a bunch of cloned images. I don't think they're all going to be the same, look the same, and we're just going to be a bunch of cloned images walking around it based on these scriptures. God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. Verse 39. Notice this, then he starts this. If it was all going to be the same, why have these next three verses? He says this, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. He said, even when I created the world, I created different types of bodies. Now don't fear, he's not telling you you're going to come back as a fish or a beast or a bird. That's not what it's talking about. He's just using it as an illustration, saying, if I was that creative when I was creating the original earth, don't you think my creativity is going to be in play when I award glorified bodies? And then he says this, very interesting, verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Celestial meaning in the sky, terrestrial meaning earthbound. Now think about this. I want to give you some things to think about. I'm not going to go and do a lot of interjection here, but I'm just saying this. Not everybody's going to receive the same type of glorified body. They're not. They're going to be different as the Lord is pleased to give. I think sometimes we look at everything that Christ did in his glorified body, and I've even preached it, and that's encouraging, but I want you to understand, I'm not sure that everybody's glorified bodies is going to do the same thing. One terrestrial is earthbound. Celestial is airborne. Now notice this. It says then about the celestial, those things that God created in the sky. Verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So he talks about the diversity of the types of glorified bodies. He talks about the limitations perhaps some will have, and he talks about the difference in their glory as far as the brightness of them. Let me just say this. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I think this whole idea of I'm going to sit here and do nothing for God all my life and I'm going to get what everybody else gets. Yeah, you're going to get heaven like everybody else gets, but I think you're going to be amazed that God is a very just God. I'll just be happy to be there. Okay. All right, you will. Amen. I won't take that from you. God bless you. I'm just saying, and I'm not going to interject too much here, but I'm just saying, isn't it interesting that Daniel chapter number 12, verse number 3 says this. Let me just go back and read it to you. It says, And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And I'm just saying, folks, you know, we can just kind of go through this, and we're too casual, we're just too sloppy, we're just too unconcerned in this day and age. We're just more concerned about getting what we want to get and doing what we want to do. And honestly, there is not a fervor of concern that there ought to be in the local New Testament church about a world dying and going to hell. There is just not the fervor and concern that there ought to be about that thing. And you can say, well, I'm saved, and so I'll come into church and I'll give to missions and I'll do a few things. And I appreciate everything you do. Praise God. But I just think the idea that we're all going to end up the same because of this is not going to be true. So there's a diversity in the glorified bodies here. Now we're going to, in verse 42, all the way down through verse 50, it's very interesting because the difference between the earthly body. Now we're just going to go back to comparing earthly body to spiritual body. I read all these, beginning in verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sowed in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Now, all of these statements are telling you one thing about the earthy body, and the other about the spiritual body. Now, let me talk to you about the natural body, or our earthy bodies. There's 9 things that said about it in this portion of Scripture. It was sown in corruption. It was sown in dishonor. It was sown in weakness. It was sown a natural body. It was made a living soul. It's our first body. It's earthy. It bears the image of Adam, and it cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's the body you have now. The one that's waiting for us, raised in incorruption, raised in glory, raised in power, raised a spiritual body, made a quickening spirit. This will be our last body. It's heavenly, and it will bear the image of Jesus Christ, and it will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to trade in for a better model. Amen? Okay. Sown in corruption, sown in dishonor, sown in weakness, sown a natural body, made a living soul. Our first body, earthy, bore the image of Adam, which is sin, inheritance of the sin nature, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Or raised in incorruption, raised in glory, raised in power, raised a spiritual body, made a quickening spirit. Our last body, heavenly, will bear the image of Christ, will inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you something. You can think I'm crazy or not, but I'm to the point in time when I go to the funerals of Christians, I linger an extra moment at the casket because I'm just a little envious. I don't expect you younger ones to understand that. It's fine. I wouldn't understood that then either. But I'm just saying, I'm going to tell you what, don't fear death as a Christian. There's no need to fear death. You know what? Sorrow. Yeah, we're all going to sorrow when we lose loved ones. But if they are saved, I promise you this, if you could see who they are and the body they have and the life they're living right now, you wouldn't wish them back here for anything else in the world. Don't for one second let your sorrowing get over into selfishness. Because, man alive, they're not the ones that ought to be wept over. We're the ones that ought to be wept over. Amen. Isn't that an amazing verse? A good name is better than precious ointment, the day of death and the day of one's birth. There's a better body waiting for us. Now, verse 51 to 57 talks about the process of changing bodies. Okay, preacher, there's a natural body and a spiritual body. There's no doubt the spiritual body is a much better model than the natural body. How do I trade it in? Well, there's only 2 ways. All right. Okay, there's death or the rapture. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's talking about death for the Christian. Isn't it sweet that God uses that term when it talks about a Christian dying? He seldom uses the word die. When we say we have, when God says we have eternal life, that's how he views it. And we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is talking about the rapture. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. So at the last trump, 2 things are happened. The ones that have already died will be raised incorruptible. That which is, you know what? I was very interesting. I was tilling in my garden the other day, and we replanted some of the corn, and one of the ones that weren't very big, about this big, I got too close, and I flipped it up and got it out of the ground. I'm going to tell you, it's amazing. When you read these verses, and I held that corn up, and it was so neat to watch. That corn was still small enough so that the root system had just broken out of the seed, and the seed fragments was hanging on. Have you ever seen that? The seed fragment, the hard seed fragment was hanging on to the root system. And I sat there and thought to myself, wow, that little thing, that, how did that come out of there? That's crazy how that came out of there. And but I'm going to tell you something. I don't know where the dust of every man is, but out of whatever that is, there's something going to spring forth. And only God can do that. The voice of God, the trump will sound. The voice of God will say, come. And I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing on this earth that's going to keep us from coming. I don't care where the body is or what it is or what it's become. It's going to answer the voice of Almighty God. So the process of changing bodies is death or by the rapture. Either way, death is not to be feared. So when this corruptible, verse 54, shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't these comforting words? You know, Paul stops, and I'm glad. I hate to say this, but I'm glad that there was someone in this church questioning the resurrection, because what we got from it was beautiful, beautiful chapter 15, that tells us not only about the importance of the resurrection, but gives us a little preview about what it's going to be like when we get our glorified bodies. This is good stuff. Now, let me give you the last thought here. We had our human bodies compared to a seed, the diversity of our glorified bodies, the difference between an earthly body and a spiritual body, the process of changing bodies, and then number 5, the life we should live in light of these truths. The life we should live in light of these truths. You know, God never gives you information in the Bible for the sake of information. Don't forget what I just said there. God never gives us information just for the sake of information. He gives us information for the sake of motivation. You got that? Because there's that word therefore in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now look right up here. You can take this little thing, and you're allowed to, because we're not just a seed, we're humans, and this little body of ours has inside of it a free will. And if you want to, you can just hold on to what you hold on to and do what you want to do. But I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, this is going to be sown, or the trumpet's going to sound. And you know what? How we lived our lives is going to make a difference for us during all eternity and for other people during all eternity. Because of these truths, here's what God reminds us of. By the way, let me just say this. Realize that you are of the beloved. I love that little phrase there. Therefore, my beloved brethren. You know what? God loves you. He's proved it every single moment of every single day, if you'll recognize it. You are the beloved. Therefore, my beloved, how should we live in light of these truths? Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Live in the confidence that our labor for God will not be in vain. Now, I understand, folks, that this Christian life at times gets hard and it gets weary. I know it's easy to be tempted at times to just say, you know what am I doing investing so much time in the Lord's work? I think I'm just going to go out and spend the time I have on earth having as much fun as I could possibly have. But you're going to find out, we all are, that this life is a vapor that appears for a short time and vanisheth away. And eternity, folks, is not 70 years. Eternity is not 65 years. Eternity is not 85 years. And all through eternity, we are going to, I believe, in many ways, be rewarded for what we did for the Lord Jesus. You know what? I think that there's going to be millions of Christians that look back at their life and say, what in the world was I thinking? What did I do? Why did I waste that? The people that I could have brought with me, the things that I could have enjoyed for all eternity. You know what? I was just selfish and slothful, and you know what? I just got caught up in this day-to-day, day-in, day-out world, and I missed the reason God saved me. I missed the opportunities. You know what? Do this. Jump at a chance to abound in the work of the Lord. jumping at opportunity. Well, preacher, sometimes it gets hard. Yeah, I know summertime's coming. You know what? Everything's harder. But let's keep going soul winning. Let's keep running the buses. Let's keep doing our nursing homes. Let's just keep being involved in the work of the Lord. Just stay busy, because there is going to be a day. I promise you, there's going to be a day where when you hear, if you hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," you're going to be so pleased that you heard it. Be steadfast. Man, just grow deep roots. Just get into the work of God and get into the church and get into serving the Lord and get into your Bible, and just don't let anybody move you from that. Be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because you can have the confidence that our labor will not, for the Lord, will not be in vain. You're not going to get to heaven and look back and see that what you did for God was a waste. You're not going to do that. But we're going to look back at a lot of our lives, lots of the parts of our lives, and say, you know what, all that effort I put into that, and you know what, the honest truth is, there was no eternal benefit whatsoever. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The glorified body of the believer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you have given us the information that you have. I'm not sure, Lord, that we probably understand it to its depth. As a matter of fact, I'm very doubtful that our human mind could comprehend what awaits us. I just don't think we have the reference points to do that. I think that your ways are so far above our ways, your thoughts so far above our thoughts. Lord, this idea that we will somehow miss this world, this sinful world, miss this earth as it is now, miss these sin-cursed bodies. I think when we get into eternity, we're going to spend all eternity rejoicing over the goodness of God and what you've allowed us to have compared to what we had to live in on this earth. Lord, may we just take the admonition. May we by faith believe what the Apostle Paul wrote by inspiration here. May we commit ourselves to being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And Lord, encourage us during those discouraging times. Help us to understand that our labor will not be in vain for the Lord. Every single thing that is done for Jesus Christ, everything that's done for our Heavenly Father, there's going to be some eternal good for us and for those that we did it for. There's going to be some eternal good there. Lord, may we rededicate ourselves to that life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.